Good morning to all of those in the back that are enjoying the coffee. Zach, enjoy your coffee, but time's up.
Should we say, come, now is the time to worship?
We're just going to start singing and let everybody come in as they can. Please rise if you're able, please.
Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God, come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Willingly we choose to surrender our lives. Willingly our knees will bow. With all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come, come, come.
For the call to worship this morning, I would like to read part of the lectionary psalm, which is Psalm 29, which invites us with all of creation to worship God. Honor the Lord, you heavenly beings. Honor the Lord for his glory and strength. Honor the Lord for the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord echoes above the sea, and the God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty seas. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. He makes Lebanon's mountain skip like a calf. He makes Mount Hermon leap like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with lightning bolts. The voice of the Lord makes barren the wilderness of Kadesh. In his temple, everyone shouts, glory. The Lord rules over the floodwaters. The Lord reigns as king forever. The Lord gives his people strength. The Lord gives his people peace.
My life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord. In you, it's in you. My life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord, in you, it's in you. I will praise you with all of my life. I will praise you with all of my strength, with all of my life, with all of my strength. All of my hope is in you. My life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. My hope life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord. In you, it's in you, in you.
So what did you think when you walked this morning? That's Manitoba. I was thinking about the poor refugees from Syria who have come, and they walk out and say, this can't happen. So we have to make sure that the warmth of our being thaws out the cold that they experience. It's wonderful to see you this morning. We've got a great service. We look forward to worshiping together. I'd like to invite you to stand, and if you would like, turn around and say hi to someone, if you're able to stand. Turn around and say hi. And when you're done, we'll sit down. In the midst of this, if the children would like to come to the front. So we'd like to invite the children or those young at heart to come to the front for the children's story, please.
Okay. Good morning. I don't know if everybody... I became a member of this church some months ago, and I appreciate the welcome. I notice you pay good attention. I have a question for you. Have you ever thought what Jesus must have looked.
Does anybody want to give an idea of what you thought Jesus looked like?
He had brown hair.
All right.
He always wore a white robe. Is in pictures. He always had sandals on.
Okay, so you have your ideas of what Jesus looked like. In perhaps if he had been born in Canada, we would think of him as having white skin and looked very much like each and every one of us. Probably a little bit like we would think of him, but actually, he seems to be would have been a little bit brownish, like a shepherd boy that may have been there on Christmas night. How would they have seen him in China? They would have thought him in those. There we have a boy from Africa. He would have thought. Maybe he would have thought of Jesus in those. And here be an Aboriginal from southwestern United States, and he may have said, my chief, son of Big Chief. Here we have a young princess from the Middle East. She would see Jesus in her unique way, too. We have another one here. And here's a girl becoming a young woman. Oh, she likes that baby. She'd love to cuddle him. Sometimes some of us wish we didn't look quite the way we do or did, and we would want things changed. But God made us the way we are. I don't think he'd want us to look like this, would he? A part of one here. Very interesting. Did you ever think of what Jesus may have been like as a boy? The Bible doesn't tell us very much, but it says a few things. It says he grew in wisdom and years. Do you know what the difference between wisdom and knowledge is? There is a difference. Yes, that's true. Knowledge, we know a lot. We may be smart, but how do we use that knowledge? That's wisdom. And Jesus probably was very helpful to the children and even to his father Joseph. I've thought about it, and this is how we can do it. And he said, I never thought of that. So Jesus, even as a boy, was very wise. And let us appreciate this in somebody who was sent as a baby, grew up as a boy, and became our Savior. Shall we bow our heads for prayer? Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you sent somebody as Jesus to be our example and to be our Savior eventually. The song we have goes something like this, called Some Children See Him. Some children see him lily white, the baby Jesus born that night. Some children see him lily white, with tresses soft and fair. Some children see him bronzed and brown, the Lord of heaven to earth come down. Some children see him bronzed and brown, with darkened heavy hair.
Some children see him, amen, die. The Savior whom we kneel beside. Some children see him, amen, died, with skin of yellow hue. Some children see him dark as day, sweet Mary's son, to whom we pray. Some children see him dark as day, and ah, they love him too. The children in each different place will see the baby Jesus' face, like them but bright with heavenly grace, and filled with holy light. Oh, lay aside each earthly thing, and with thy heart as offering, come worship now the infant King. For love was born.
Okay, you mean
it's not easy to follow.
Sing a song of celebration, lift up a shout of praise, for the bridegroom will come, the glorious one. And oh, we will look on his face. We'll go to a much better place. Dance with all your might, lift up your hands and clap for joy. The time's drawing near when he will appear. And oh, we will stand by his side. A strong, pure, spotless bride. Song of celebration, lift up a shout of praise, for the bridegroom will come, the glorious one. And oh, we will look on his face. We'll go to a much better. With all your might, lift up your hands and clap for joy. The time's drawing near when he will appear. And oh, we will stand by his side, a strong, pure, spotless bride. All the streets that are golden, the glorious bride, and the great Son of Man, from every tongue and tribe and nation, will join in the song of the Lamb. We'll join in the song of the Lamb. We'll join. Song of the Lamb.
We sing these amazing songs, and they come from Scripture. We need to think through what we're singing and what that means and what that's going to look like.
We'll leave this sermon for Hans.
I'd like to mention a number of things in the bulletin under Community Life. If you take a look, starting at number 13 in your bulletins, there's an AED training that's going to happen. One session is tonight, and for those who can't make it tonight, you're welcome to come Thursday. We have room for 12 people in each. There's still a few slots, so if you would like to find out how to use those little shocking things, you are welcome to come. Please sign up right after the service. Number 14, we've been talking about doing communion a little differently, and there's been some people who are saying, let's talk about this first. Let's sit down and discuss what this means. And so we thought, we're a family. Of course we talk about things. And so we're going to do that at the annual general meeting. We're going to have a little discussion about what communion means to us and how we celebrate communion together, and maybe a little bit about our history. Number 15 and 16, the AGM is coming up on January 23rd. Please come and bring your name. The name is needed to fill in one of the slots that you'll find in the books. You'll find the books, they're either in your mailbox. We missed a few, so if you don't have one in your mailbox, they're on the back table. Also, a note, you'll see a little later in the bulletin, there's a note about a new book that Wanda and Frank have put out. It's called As Sunset Nears. Read a little bit about that. I understand that that's going to be available as of the 23rd, and for $20 with any proceeds above costs going to the family center at Zaporozhye in Ukraine. I'd like to take a look at some sharing. I'd like to go through, there's quite a few, but are there any announcements that need to be made before we start with the sharing? Okay, we'll ask you again after the sharing, but there's a whole bunch of things. Please look at your bulletins, starting at verse 1, and it doesn't even end where the bulletin ends. There's a few more. Our condolences go out to Will and Erna on the passing of Will's brother, Isaac Brown, and also his cousin, Margaret Hebert, who passed away just this past week. We want to continue to keep the Arlt family in our prayers, and we have been. Not only Ken, but Yolanda and all the rest of the family. We have been praying for you. This is a road where we don't see around the next corner, and we're praying. We want to also pray for Dale Titterton, who will be going in for some surgery at St. Boniface, fairly important. Please read that and keep that in your prayers. Many of you have heard about Kim Hoban this past week. So she had some major surgery. We are grateful that they were able to locate the camera, which was stuck inside. But it's a long and painful recovery. She cannot have guests now. I know some of you would like to go up to visit, and there's not right now is not the right time for that. Is there any more to add to this, Betty?
I think you said it very well, but we do want to just thank everybody for their well wishes. And yes, they were able to remove the capsule and an area that was very, very stricture to put down the size of about a pencil. So it was quite an area, but they were able to remove all that. And for as far as they could kind of see from the surgery that they did, there wasn't disease that was that they could see. But she continues to have, of course, inflammatory bowel disease. So this should help. Where we will go with all of that, we don't know. But we've certainly felt prayers and God's presence.
Thanks, Betty. So we're not finished praying yet for that one. Want to remind you to pray for Astrid Giesbrecht. She's had so many health issues and now again going in for exploratory surgery, as I understand. So not only her, but she has a little baby at home and her parents are there looking after things. And so there are people from the church here walking with the family, and blessings on them. But please keep her in your prayers. Corny Lowen had surgery on his knee, and I went to visit the poor guy at home, and he wasn't at home. He was at work. Mennonites don't know how to go home. They will work. Helen Guggenheimer, some of you may have heard, she fell and broke her collar and somewhere in there. And so they said to her, if you were young, we do surgery, but go home and it will heal. So please pray for her. It's a lot of pain. Frida Gertz, we're so grateful to have you here each Sunday. It's been 3 months now. 3 months, and Frida's still not weight-bearing on her leg, and so please pray for her and all her support people as well. Veronica, how wonderful to see you here today. A little bit like corny. So it's wonderful to see you here. We have been praying for you, and we know it's a bit of a journey ahead of you yet, and probably not quite the way that you had wanted to take your mat leave, but we're glad you can be with us, and we're glad that you have your parents on both sides to help you. So we'll keep on praying for you. Want to pray for Walter Fast as well. Things just aren't kind of progressing as the family would wish. It's very slow, so please pray for them. There's just an armload of appointments that he has. Hildy Weens has a number of significant appointments coming up in the next week and a half. Please pray for her. Well, I'll come back to that in a minute. I've got a note from Phil Franz-Warkentin. Jacob was taken to the hospital, and the stoma, if I'm not saying this correct, you can ask somebody who's into medical type stuff, was repaired without cutting, is the way Phil put it. In fact, the way he put it, to be exact, was with brute force. So brute force and Jacob, who's just this big, doesn't seem to fit together, but keep them in your prayers. Lena McCracken called her great niece, who's 13. Her name is Tree. Just fell over. They rushed her to the hospital. She has a brain tumor, and so they're doing surgery on that. 13. And Gary Hebert mentioned this morning that he's going in for surgery on February the 5th. They are not sure it's back, but it does look like some of the cancer may be coming back. So. We want to keep on praying. Things went well the last time round, and we're going to take off a few lymph nodes, and we trust that that will take care of things. Does anybody either need to clarify what was said, or is there somebody else? Oh, Veronica, right over
here. Veronica here, sorry. as many of you already know, I had an accident on church parking lot on December 23rd, dropping off Jacob for his practice. Broke my ankle severely. I had surgery to repair 3 broken bones on the 24th. So now I am the proud new owner of a plate and 10 new screws. It's been hard, I won't lie. I'm not able to do much with my kids, but I have a great mother-in-law and a great mom, and they've been over at the house every day. And Rob and I really want to thank everybody for helping that night. To keep me calm, to keep me warm, and for bringing meals, for all your prayers, and we ask for continued prayer for strength, healing, and patience, as this is a very trying time. My postpartum journey has not been very easy. I had a massive hemorrhage after, and I've been suffering from some depression since. So this break is, it's really difficult, but I ask for your continued prayer and support. Thank you.
Is there anyone else that would like to share? Lil, near the...
We were very excited when we found out that a friend of ours had self-published a book. He's a Catholic person, so he's very much into spirituality and vision and so forth. And he wrote down the stories from when he was right from the time when he was 5 years old until just recently. And when he was running, like doing his regular running trip in September, he got a really bad pain. And from September till now, it's gone from his lungs. He's got bone cancer and he's got brain cancer all at the same time. It seems to be going quite quickly. We are praying for a miracle to happen because he has another story in him. And his name is Gus Lodowicz. He's helped a lot of people professionally because he's a chiropractor. And I know the list is long, but I think our hearts are big enough to include him. Thank you.
Thank you, Lil. Is there anyone else that would like to say anything?
This is actually, there's so many sad things, but this is something happy. So I want to share that. As well, we got quite the scare this week. My brother's wife, Jeannie, they live in Toronto, a healthy 62-year-old woman. They were going to fly to Florida to see Marlene for her birthday over New Year's, and she'd been having some issues, so they took her, and she had a stress test, I think, the morning that they were going to leave. Well, things did not work the way she thought, and she was definitely not going to Florida. And so yesterday morning, they did emergency bypass surgery on her, and it has gone well. But a fatal heart attack was averted because they said it's what they call the widow maker. So we are so thankful. So keep them in your prayers, but at least it's a good story.
You're wearing your pedometer.
Hi, it's Ed Redekop here. It's been a long time since September 28th when I had my bowel surgery. And I again want to thank everyone for all your prayers. They definitely do help. We may not realize it, how it helps, but it really does, the way things fall into place. They removed 18 inches of my small intestine, which was completely scarred from years of lots of pain. Fortunately, there was no malignancy, but it took a while for the reports to come through, and the result was that my Crohn's is in remission. So I was happy to hear that, and unfortunately I didn't realize I had Crohn's. So again, I'm very grateful for that. Thank you.
Interesting way to have a blessing. Two things. First of all, we're a family, and you see the list and you've heard the people. And I know that you know that everybody cares, and for those of you who are going through a hard time, I know that everyone around you cares. But I want to encourage you to take a minute to let people know. Tap them on the shoulder, put a note in their mailbox, give them a phone call, send them an email. It does amazing things for people to know that we are. Secondly, we're going to try something a little unorthodox for us. It just seems that our prayer should be a bit of a huddle. And so I'm going to ask you to stand and either put your hand on the shoulder of the person next to you, or you can hold their hand if you like. And this is a statement of solidarity, and I'll leave my notes up here, and I'll come down, and we'll pray what's on our heart, okay? Would you stand? Well, God, this January has really started with a bang. We are used to the weather, but all of these health issues. Such a small group, and we keep thinking we've seen enough, and it continues to come. And we know you're there, God. We know you're there. You have shown us in many ways. But God, we need you today to wrap your arms around us again and give us a little squeeze to assure us that you walk with us. Help us to remember to care for the other people here and to let them know. Let them know to be your voice, your arms of encouragement. For all those that we have talked about, I ask that you would be with them in a very special way. Help them to feel your nearness as they continue to go through health concerns, recuperating, going through tests, whatever it might be. But they would know that you are there in the midst of it. We recognize, God, that our world is much larger than us, and there are hurts beyond us that we haven't mentioned. There are hurts within this church that also dig deep that we haven't addressed today. And I ask that you would be there for those people as well. Come together today, God, to praise you, but also for you to reach out and bless us.
As we take the offering today, I'd like to this is a song that Hans asked us to sing today. But pay particular attention to the prayer that is the chorus.
There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son. Precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and giving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. Jesus, my Redeemer, name above all names, precious. precious Lamb of God, Messiah, hope for sinners slain. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. When I stand in glory, I will see his face, and there serve my King forever in that holy place. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. And leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done.
Matthew 24:3-14. Later, as Jesus was sitting in the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him in private and asked, "When will this happen? When will the sign of your coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered, "Don't let anyone fool you. Many will come and claim to be me. They will say that they are the Messiah, and they will fool many people. You will soon hear about wars and threats of wars, but don't be afraid. These things will have to happen first, but that isn't the end. Nations and kingdoms will go to war against each other. People will starve to death, and in some places there will be earthquakes. But this is just the beginning of troubles. You will be arrested, punished, and even killed. Because of me, you will be hated by people of all nations. Many will give up and betray and hate each other. Many false prophets will come and fool a lot of people. Evil will spread and cause many people to stop loving others. But if you keep on being faithful right to the end, you will be saved. When the good news about the kingdom has been preached all over the world and told to all the nations, the end will come."
Matthew 27:51-54. At once the curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and rocks split apart. Graves opened and many of God's people were raised to life. Then after Jesus had risen to life, they came out of their graves and went into the holy city, where they were seen by many people. The officer and the soldiers guarding Jesus felt the earthquake and saw everything else that happened. They were frightened and said, "This man really was God's son."
Acts 1 verse 6 to 11. While the apostles were still with Jesus, they asked him, "Lord, are you now going to give Israel its own king again?" Jesus said to them, "You do not need to know the time of those events that only the Father controls, but the Holy Spirit will come upon you and give you power. Then you will tell everyone about me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and everywhere in the world." After Jesus had said this, and while they were watching, he was taken up into a cloud. They could not see him, but as he went up, they kept looking up into the sky. Suddenly, two men dressed in white clothes were standing there beside them. They said, "Why are you men from Galilee standing here and looking up into the sky? Jesus has been taken to heaven, but he will come back in the same way that you have seen him go."
1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. "My friends, we want to understand how it will be for those followers who have already died. Then you will not grieve over them and be like other people who don't have any hope. We will believe that Jesus died and will rise to life. We also believe that when God brings Jesus back again, he will bring with him all who have faith in Jesus before they died. Our Lord Jesus told us that when he comes, we won't go up to meet him ahead of the followers who have already died. With a loud command and a shout of the chief angel, a blast of God's trumpet, the Lord will return from heaven, and those who had faith in Christ before they died will rise to life next to all of us
who are still alive, will we be taken up to the clouds together to meet the Lord in the sky. From that time on, we will all be with the Lord forever, encouraging each other with these words.
Our younger people for reading the scripture, you did just an absolutely fabulous job. Thank you very much. Thanks to Tim for lining that up. Over the past couple of years, Hans periodically drops into the office, and we have these wonderful deep theological dialogues about all sorts of things. So for the last 2 years, we've been saying, one of these days, Hans, you really need to preach. And he said, yeah, one day I will. And his health has been a bit of an issue, and now he's feeling up to it. And so, Hans, we look forward to sharing with us what God has placed on your heart. While Hans is getting up there, I just want you to know there's a strange thing going on. All of your cell phones are out by 10 minutes, so it's not really quarter till, it's 25 till.
Some of you, of course, will be wondering why there is a table as opposed to a pulpit. First of all, certain physical difficulties which I'm undergoing. But there's also precedent for this. If you think of it, Jesus never stood behind a pulpit. How could he? Can you imagine him trying to find Isaiah 15:21 with a big scroll? That'd have been almost impossible to do. You'd have to have something like this on the table where you could roll it. Some years ago, while I was doing security work, sometimes the duties took me to Shear Tzedek, the synagogue that is downtown. And they would bring out the scroll, and that was a monstrous thing. And I just thought to myself, I wouldn't want to have this thing is search your Bible in 5 minutes for a verse. So I am I have a precedent for this. Actually, this business of preaching behind a pulpit, you can attribute that to Martin Luther. Everybody does that now, even the rabbi at the synagogue. There's no rolling the scroll there. Let me see where. Oh, yes. In Sunday school, we learned pretty well about the life of Jesus, and it was enjoyable for us. We very much admired a man who went out of his way to heal the most difficult of cases, to deliver people from painful demonic oppression. And he even went out of his way to feed a crowd with fish sandwiches. Mind you, he had an unusual way to produce it, but it's food is food, and I'm sure the crowd appreciated it very much. So it was in this context, yes, Jesus lived, he was crucified, rose from the dead, and ascended unto high, and he would come back at the end of the world. Well, I said that's a long time to come, and the teachers themselves were not too tremendously concerned about it, so I just left it at that. About grade 5 or 6, catechism classes were usually on a Wednesday, but because of shift work that some of the people were having, they had to have them on the Sunday before Sunday school, and me being the good preacher's kid that I was, tagged along. So I got exposed to catechism class early. I don't know what the topic was for the morning, but somebody asked the question about Jesus' second coming. And Dad had, that wasn't in his lesson plan for the day, but he commented. My eyes pricked, my ears pricked up. Jesus is coming again. That sounded a lot sooner than the end of the world. But just when it was getting interesting, Dad shifted the topic, and I had to leave that alone. The next time came in grade 11. I was in the I was in the dining room doing my homework, good place to be, when a boarder came up and chatted with Mom and Dad with what had gone on in church. Oh, Mrs. Gertson is sick, on and on and on. This is the way it went. And then for some reason or other, Dad started talking, Jesus is coming back for the church. I put down my pen, went to the entrance and listened to what he had to say. And when he was done, I said, well, I certainly hope I am ready for that time. He gave me kind of an indulgent smile, and with that, turned to another topic. I still don't know today what got him on it. But anyways, the result of that was, 3 months later, I came to faith in Christ. The most important day of my life, even to this time. And then I learned that I was now safe for heaven. I also learned that being safe for heaven, what was I to do while I was here? And God in his ways showed me that there was a lot of learning good needs to be done, and as Bill Gaither's song said, between earth and heaven, there's an awful lot of living yet to do. And that has truly been the case. And it was in this context that I was becoming more and more interested about what is all involved here in Jesus' second coming. And slowly I began to see, and I'm skipping many a decade in seeing this, and there's also the matter of time, and I'm pressed accordingly. I began to see that much what was going on here had to do with something called Pentecost. Not that it meant that everybody was to go around chattering with tongues. That was not the thing. I'm not speaking against tongues. That can be a tremendous blessing. But the thing is this, it's what Jesus told the disciples. It's almost as though they were fighting about like many people do today, and I could give the example. Lord, is it pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib? And he basically told them, that's none of your business. But this is your business. You shall receive power when the Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses throughout the world. My witnesses throughout the world, and that happens. And we see evidence, we see, well, it happened there, what had been going on here, and I think the 20th century had been the greatest example of what has gone on. In 1909, there wasn't one Pentecostal Christian, probably hardly an evangelical Christian in Latin America, south of the Rio Grande River to the tip of South America. In 2005, based on estimates, there are 75 million of these people throughout South America, and the signs show that growth is not stopping. What are they doing? Some people accuse them of trickery. No, that's not the case at all. When they lead them to the Lord, then they spend time with them, discipling them, shepherding them until they are ready to stand on their feet. This has been the story of missions throughout the world. The big one right now is Africa. And here is where Mennonites can hold their heads up high. In 1950, there wasn't one Mennonite in Ethiopia. And a group of old Mennonite people from Pennsylvania went to see Haile Selassie and asked, where can we do some mission work? We don't want to do any work among the Coptic Christians. And they said, well, I'll tell you what. There's an area, and wherever it is in Ethiopia, do your mission work there. So in about 10 years, they had 5,000 people, which is respectable. And at this point, the communists came in and scattered everybody and everything, and people had to meet. Not in buildings, but probably in the forests and places. Okay. Further, time went by, the people had enough of the communists, and it was with this that the Mennonite Church took off. As of 2009, they had 196,000 baptized members. In 2012, that number went up to 225,000. We are seeing the Spirit move in this century. And to me, this is bringing us closer to the last day of Pentecost. How much time have we left? How much time is there for us, corporately and individually, to share Jesus with somebody else? Not to force it on them. James Robison said it right, let your light so shine before men, but for goodness sake, don't push it in their faces. But yes, God is moving. One of the consequences of this, too, persecution has increased tremendously. More people have been killed for the faith in the 20th century than all the previous 19. Time is 12 o'clock. I can't really go into details that I had for my sermon, so I just squunched a few things together so as to give you an idea where we are headed. Let me finish with this. We are not facing misery. We are facing a wonderful future because Jesus is Lord and he wants to see everybody come in that can come in. Shall we bow our heads? Thank you, Lord, for the privilege that you've given us of becoming your children by faith in Jesus Christ. Thank you how you brought growth to each and every one of us too. And Lord, where we can and however we can, let us not fail to share what we know to be true about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us in our respective lives. We are not asked all to make a mighty sermon or have a mighty campaign, but do as Paul has done. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And Lord, I do ask your blessing upon the congregation, corporately and individually. Give them a wonderful week, and let Jesus shine out of them. Amen and amen.
Fighting to
Hans, thank you very much for sharing with us this morning. And for the rest of you, the part that he left out is really pretty amazing, so you probably want to phone him for a cup of coffee to hear the rest. I'd like to invite you to stand for the benediction and for the last song. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you.
Here.